Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome back to another episode of the Madhouse Podcast. As always, I am your host, Mad Max. Excuse me. Today's episode is Super Bowl 58. It came down to the wire, the Super Bowl between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. Really came down to the wire. It was the last play, the last 10 seconds of overtime in which the Kansas City Chiefs defeat the San Francisco 49ers 25-22. The Chiefs win their third Super Bowl in 4 years. Patrick Mahomes is once again Super Bowl MVP. Him and Travis Kelce have each won three Super Bowl rings, which put them in the dynasty discussion and things like that. And I'm upset with this outcome, because I was really pulling for the San Francisco 49ers to kind of get their revenge from the 2019 Super Bowl. But this was still a good game. This was a really good game on both sides of the ball. Both teams were executing great. I want to say the biggest thing that really kind of killed the Niners was just a bunch of injuries, really. They lost Trey Greenlaw over a stupid little thing that he did, ruptures his Achilles, running onto the field and everything like that. That became a meme like right after the game was over. A lot of guys on defense got hurt in the fourth quarter. Really unfortunate. And I mean, I can't really be upset about this, because they, like I said, they played a damn good game. And you couldn't ask for nothing more. Big ups to the Chiefs. I know a lot of people are starting to put Patrick Mahomes into the GOAT category. I mean, to be honest, at this point, I think he's entered the top 10, maybe even the top 5 quarterbacks of all time. This kid is from 2019 to now, 4 Super Bowl appearances, 3 wins, 3 Super Bowl MVPs. I mean, the guy is just... Now, he is a lightning rod, man. You're never going to see anything like this again. I can honestly say that he's the greatest quarterback that the Kansas City Chiefs have ever had. It is something that really, really took a lot of people by surprise. They really struggled this year. They didn't really have any offensive weapons outside of Travis Kelce. You know, the rookie Rashid Rice really came in clutch for them in the later parts of the season and in the playoffs. You know, Isaiah Pacheco really kind of, you know, I mean, he did drop the ball a few times in this game, but, you know, he's kind of the glue that kind of held that offense together as well, as did Patrick Mahomes. You know, this was a good game all the way around. It's been a long time since we have seen a Super Bowl like this. Like, to be honest, I think the last great Super Bowl that was like this, that felt like a heavyweight bout between two teams, was probably... Shit, what, 2015, when it was Seattle and New England? I mean, I don't really get how that was supposed to be. I was expecting a good game, but I wasn't expecting it to be this close throughout. And it reminded me of that Seattle-New England game. And that's arguably that's probably the greatest Super Bowl I've ever seen. The year after that was New England and Atlanta, which featured the greatest comeback of all time. The year after that was the Eagles, the Philly Special, as they call it, in which the Eagles beat the Patriots. That was also a good game, but not for the right reasons. The year after that was the Patriots and the Rams. That was just a defensive chess match going back and forth, but the score you couldn't really tell. It was a low-scoring game, so it wasn't really that eventful. And then the year after that was the first matchup between Kansas City and San Francisco, but I honestly think that the Chiefs, the team that the Chiefs had that year in 2019 was a whole lot better than the team that they had this year. And then the ironic thing is the San Francisco 49ers team was a whole lot better this year than they were in 2019. So, you know, it was kind of a little bit of a haphazard thing, and it was interesting to see. And then the year after that, it was the Bucks and the Chiefs, in which the Bucks made Patrick Mahomes and that defense looked foolish. Then the year after that was the Bengals and the Rams, which was kind of an odd an odd Super Bowl to say the least, because it was two teams nobody was really expecting to go. And then, of course, last year was Kansas City and Philadelphia, which that also kind of came down to the wire. But for some reason, I've always believed that Philadelphia took their foot off the gas at the end there. I don't think San Francisco really took their foot off the gas really at all. They did make some bad plays throughout. I mean, Christian McCaffrey's fumble, the missed extra point that they had. Like, I think had San Francisco made the extra point, that would have put them ahead 20-16. That probably would have been a game changer in that moment, because the pressure would have been on, they would have put a lot more pressure on Patrick Mahomes than and the Chiefs, rather than having them just make the field goal to tie it up and send it into overtime. The halftime show was Usher, and I know a lot of people had low expectations for it, because, you know, for some reason everybody wants the halftime show to be this immaculate thing and things like that. I was not impressed with Rihanna last year, and it was eh. The year before that, it was Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg. I didn't get to watch that one because I was working at the time. By the time I came home from work that day, it was already like the third quarter, about halfway through the third quarter going into the fourth. So I had missed kind of majority of the game. And then J-Lo and Shakira, I could really care. Like, there was a lot of hype around that one because these two women are beautiful and everything like that. But then their thing got really political, and I was just like, that just kind of took a lot of the fun out of it and things like that. So, yeah, it's been a long time. Like, to be honest, I think the last good show that the Super Bowl had was the weekend was pretty good in Tampa Bay in 2020. That was really good. And then I think before that, it would have been Lady Gaga at Houston when she performed between the Eagles and the Falcons and the Patriots. That was a good Super Bowl. That was a good halftime show. But this one was actually pretty good. You know, Usher did his thing. You know, he brought out Alicia Keys, and I know a lot of people say she butchered that opening note in her song, and I can see that. I mean, I think Alicia Keys is one of the greatest singers of all time, but, you know, for some reason she sounds better on wax than she does live. And that's just me. And everything like that. And Usher and her, when they sing that song, My Boo, that there's a lot of nostalgia there. But a lot of people said, man, he's getting a little, you know, touchy feely with Alicia Keys. But then again, if you've ever seen them perform that song live, he's always been like that. So, you know, that was nothing new. That was really nothing new, to say the least. Seeing Little John and Ludacris come out to perform, yeah, that was really cool. I think all around this was very entertaining. If I had to pick my top five halftime Super Bowl shows that I've seen, number one would have to be The Weeknd. Number two would have to be Prince. I can't. I really got to give credit where credit is due. When I saw that Prince one, I was like, holy shit, this guy's playing the guitar in the rain. And that was really interesting to see that. So, and then number three would have to have been the Coldplay Bruno Mars Beyonce performance, which a lot of people didn't like because Bruno Mars had just did it the year before, and then the year before that it was Beyonce by herself, and then she brought out Destiny's Child. But that whole little ensemble that they did, that was really cool. That was really something special. Four would have to be Lady Gaga, and then five would probably have to be NSYNC and Aerosmith. That was back in 2001. I've always been impressed by that one. This Usher one wasn't bad, you know. It was a lot better, because I remember Usher had came out with the Black Eyed Peas, and that was one of the worst showings, because all due respect to the Black Eyed Peas, they're a good group and everything like that. That show just didn't do it for me, and, you know, I can't stand the way Fergie sings, so live anyway. And I don't know. The halftime show was a much more entertaining. It was much more entertaining than what I was expecting. I might even put that at number five. You know, I could really rotate it then. Matter of fact, that is going to be number five. So number one, The Weeknd. Number two, Prince. Number three, Coldplay, Beyonce, and Bruno Mars. Number four, number four would have to be Lady Gaga. Number five would have to be Usher. It really is something special. It really is. The halftime show was pretty cool. I gotta say, I was really impressed. The commercials were actually okay. You saw a lot of the big brands, coming out with their stuff and a lot of movie trailers, man. I did see a lot of movie trailers, but it's like they're doing TV spots or teasers. Like they showed a full trailer for the movie Wicked, which I totally forgot that that was coming out. They had a trailer for the movie Fall Guy with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, which is coming out in May. They had a full trailer for the movie A Quiet Place Day One, which I'm actually excited about that one because I love the first two. They were really good. They showed a teaser for Deadpool 3, and then they dropped, I think like towards the end of the game, they released the full thing online, and I watched it, and I gotta say I'm very excited for Deadpool 3. They showed the one for Twister, which I thought was really cool. They showed Kung Fu Panda 4, but we had already seen that one by now. They did show, now they didn't show it, I didn't see it here, but they did show a full-length trailer for the Knuckles spin-off show that's coming on Prime Video. I mean, not on Prime Video, but on Paramount Plus in April, which that looks pretty cool too. But I was expecting them to drop a little bit more movie trailers because I know there's a lot coming out. They did Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and I gotta do a lot of that stuff. So in the future, as these movies start to come out, as we're getting ready for February and everything like that, as we're getting to the halfway point for February and March is coming up, and we do got a lot of big franchise movies coming out in the spring. It's definitely something to look forward to. So there's a lot of content to be had coming into that situation. But anyway, back to the Super Bowl. It's cool seeing a game like this. I was really pulling for Brock Purdy and George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Fred Warner, and a lot of those guys to win their first Super Bowl ever. Same thing with Kyle Shanahan and things like that. But I mean, I've always said that they want to compare, like I said earlier, they want to compare Mahomes to Brady. He's on the right track. I wouldn't put him in the Brady discussion yet. I would put him in the echelons of maybe like an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson or even a Drew Brees. I would put him in that talk, but he's still got a ways to go, before he gets to be mentioned in the same category as Brady, Peyton, Montana, or even like even a guy like Elway. Now he's done the same at this point. He's done the same thing that Troy Aikman has done. He's won three Super Bowls and everything like that. But I'd put him in the same. I would put Mahomes in the same category as Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and even Drew Brees and things like that, because he's in that same category, and because he's won more. This is now he's won more Super Bowls than they have. I'd put him in that category. He's got a ways to go before he reaches the next tier of quarterbacks, as far as I'm concerned, and everything like that. But it kind of goes to show you that he's moving up at a really fast pace. I mean, the guy is in his late 20s right now, but he's still got a long way to go. You know what I mean? This is what, his seventh or sixth or seventh season already, and he's really making a name for himself. He's carving out his legacy. Like I said before, he is without a doubt the greatest quarterback that the Kansas City Chiefs have ever had. The same thing with Travis Kelce. A lot of people want to put Kelce as the greatest tight end of all time. I think with this Super Bowl win and with his record-breaking postseason this year, he's definitely in the top five. Like, I would put him at five. Like, in my opinion, it goes Tony Gonzalez, Gronk, Antonio Gates, Jason Witten, and then maybe I would put Kelce right there at five. And things like that. I'm only putting Witten on the list because, he was a little bit more. I might put him ahead of Witten at four, but that's just me. That's just my opinion and everything like that. So, as far as Andy Reid goes, I think Andy Reid, there's been the rumors that he might contemplate retirement coming into this season, after the season. So who knows? I mean, we got the emotional farewell from Jason Kelce, which was unfortunate after the Eagles made the playoffs but lost in the first round, and that's really unfortunate. That's another thing I wanted to talk about, the NFL honors. So the NFL honors happened over they happened on Thursday. NFL MVP was given to Lamar Jackson, and I was a little disappointed with that because I think it should have been Christian McCaffrey or maybe even Tyreek Hill. But out of all the quarterbacks that they had in that list, I would probably go, it was either going to be him or even, him or Patrick Mahomes. Because even though Mahomes didn't really have that great season statistically, I think he was still in that discussion. I could see him being in it. Dak Prescott, it was a little iffy about it. Josh Allen, I would have, made a strong case for it and everything like that, but that's cool to see. Offensive player of the year was Christian McCaffrey, no cap there. Defensive player of the year, I don't remember who his defensive player of the year. Oh no, defensive player of the year was Myles Garrett. Not surprised there. I would have been surprised if he would have been up there for league MVP, but not surprised there. Nick Stefani or Sterafini or whatever his name is, the coach for the Cleveland Browns, ended up winning coach of the year. I strongly disagree with that because I think it should have went to D'Amico Ryans. Joe Flacco wins comeback player of the year. I again strongly disagree with that. That should have been Baker Mayfield. Defensive rookie of the year was Will Anderson. Offensive rookie of the year, CJ Stroud. And then, of course, CJ Stroud also wins rookie of the year for all rookies instead of just, offensive or defensive. The Walter Payton Man of the Year award went to, I want to say it's Casey Howard. I know it's the guy from Pittsburgh because they said it during the Super Bowl. That's cool. I don't know. I really don't understand how that works, really. I know guys like Patrick Mahomes and J.J. Watt and Kurt Warner and guys like that have won that award and everything like that. But I really, I know that's about what you do off the field. I don't really pay attention to that until they give out the award. And then, of course, they honor the NFL Hall of Fame. Dwight Freeney was in there. Andre Johnson was in there. Devin Hester was in there. Yeah, just a lot of guys were in there. Steve McMichael was in there. Patrick Willis was in there. So I'm just glad that Andre Johnson was inducted into the Hall of Fame. He now becomes the first player ever from the Houston Texans franchise to be inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. And it's no surprise there. I mean, he's definitely earned it. In my opinion, he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest player to play for the Houston Texans. That's just my opinion. I'm not being biased because, I'm in Houston, but I'm just saying, out of all the guys that have come through the Houston Texans locker room, he's without a doubt going to be the greatest one to do that. And I think, to be honest, right behind him is going to be J.J. Watt. And even though J.J. Watt's last 2 years of his career were in Arizona, I could definitely see him being, but he'll forever be a Texan because a majority of his stats and career come from Houston. Like, yeah, even Andre Johnson played a year in Tennessee and played a year in Indianapolis, so no difference there and everything like that. So that was cool to see that those guys really got the spot that they deserve. Dwight Freeney from the Colts, Patrick Willis from the 49ers, Devin Hester from the Bears, even though he had played other teams like Atlanta and places like that. The late great Steve McMichael was on the 85 Bears, so that's no surprise there. I know there are some other people in there too. I just don't remember off the top of my head. But anyways, guys, that brings the NFL season to a close. The 2023 season goes out with a banger. The Kansas City Chiefs pull away. Not only do they beat the number one seed in the AFC in the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship, but they also knock off the number one seed in the NFC in the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl. And it's very, very unfortunate that for not, I mean, if you're a Niners fan, like I said, I was pulling for the Niners and I was very, very, very disappointed that it didn't end the way it should have. And then of course, I mean, the Twitter community, the X community, all the social media stuff, the memes are flooded with Taylor Swift shit, and we're not gonna be able to hear the end of it until next season. So but I do give credit where credit is due. In order to be the man, you got to beat the man. And Patrick Mahomes may not be on Tom Brady's level, but I do think the Kansas City Chiefs are in the same talks as the New England Patriots as now the new kids on the block to be the team to beat. You want to make the Super Bowl, you got to go through them. And that's just the way it is from now on. They've won three of their four Super Bowl appearances. Big congratulations to them. Congratulations to Patrick Mahomes for a third Super Bowl championship and a third Super Bowl MVP. Congratulations to Andy Reid. Congratulations to Travis Kelce. Big respect to everybody in San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Fred Warner, Brandon Ayuk. All those guys did an amazing job. This was a great game. Hopefully we'll be back next year. Hopefully the Texans will be back next year. You know, hopefully the way the postseason ended has me excited for a lot of these teams next year. I'm excited to see what Houston does. I'm excited to see what Buffalo and Miami do. Definitely going to keep our eyes on Kansas City. Definitely going to keep our eyes on San Francisco, Green Bay, Dallas, a lot of the teams that made it far, even the Bucks and the Lions. So, you know, we'll see what happens next year. And this is going to be the final episode for the NFL season until next year. This is the end of today's episode. If you like the episode, be sure to follow the podcast on all podcast outlets, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Google Play, Odyssey, Reddit, wherever you're getting your podcasts from. Be sure to follow the podcast on all social media outlets, Instagram and X, the Madhouse 21. Let me know what you guys thought about the Super Bowl. Was it a good game? Did you even watch the game? Did you wait until the halftime show? Whatever the case may be, let me know. Instagram and Twitter, the Madhouse 21. Be on the lookout for more episodes as they come out. I do got a bunch of episodes coming out this week. And I did get a chance to see Argyle. That's probably going to be tomorrow's episode. The Equalizer series is coming out. Madam Web comes out this week. So be on the lookout for that. Be on the lookout for anything and everything that comes out of this podcast. I don't know if I'm going to do like a week to week as far as baseball and basketball are concerned. I think because those games play like every day, I think I save those sports I save for the postseason, and we talk about it as the same way we did the NFL playoffs. We'll do the same thing for baseball and basketball. So you may not hear me talk a whole lot of basketball or baseball as we get ready for the seasons to begin, even though basketball season's already started. You know, baseball season's opening day is coming up, or opening day is right around the corner. So the next WWE Prime Premium live event is Elimination Chamber, and that's at the end of the month. And then, of course, we got WrestleMania next month, and got some pretty interesting storylines going into that. And then, like I said, we got a bunch of stuff coming out for the remaining days that we have here in February as we get ready for the spring releases, because I know a lot of films are coming out in March. So be on the lookout for that. Be on the lookout for anything and everything that comes out of this podcast. And of course, as always, be sure to embrace your inner madness.